Greg Metzen, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. And I want to, at this point, jump in and announce an event, great event, I think. I just came out, published my third novel. This one is called Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D. Milwaukee Jihad. We're having the book launch in Milwaukee on March 31st, next Thursday, at 6:30 p.m. at Boswell's on Downer. Boswell Books, independent bookstore. I think one of the best in the state. Very, very hard to compete, obviously, with Amazon and all that, but these independent bookstores are terrific. Daniel Golden, the proprietor, is letting us use his bookstore for our launch. You're invited. You're invited. If you're in Milwaukee on March 31st, Milwaukee Jihad. And I was very, very flattered by a recent review that said the following. Like Jonathan Swift in A Modest Proposal, Flynn uses satire to really highlight a very serious problem. And the book is slightly satirical. It's funny. You'll enjoy it. But it has to do with Saudi Arabians planning a 9/11 style attack on the U.S. Capitol. And there's a single CIA agent, Audrey Knapp, a woman. She has a PhD in math and combat training, and she has to stop it herself with a gun and knife in her brains. And spoiler alert, it turns out a lot differently for the Saudi Arabians than 9/11 did. A lot of action in it, a lot of people killed in it. But if you enjoy at all any of the discussion of history, any of the discussion of a deeper look at current events than you get normally on this show, you get it, the good stuff. Come to it if you're in Milwaukee, you'll enjoy it. Or else, go online and order Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D, by Matthew Flynn, and you will get an eyeful. Okay, we're going back to the issues. We're going to the lines, actually. Pizza Box Mike, my co-host and friend, Pizza Box Mike, has a great show at noon on Saturday, Thinking Outside the Pizza Box. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today, Pizza Box Mike?
Well, now I know why you were gone for 2.5 weeks. You had to write a novel.
How you doing, Pizza Box? Good to hear your voice.
Well, speaking of history, I felt like I was repeating it when I was watching those confirmation hearings. I've never seen institutionalized racism and bigotry on a level that I've ever seen before. It just took me back. It was like, what is this, 200 years ago? And for them, you know, this nonsense about, oh, soft on sexual predators. Well, let's see, Kavanaugh, Gates, and Trump. All I can say is you guys are hard on sexual predators.
Yeah, you know, Mike, you're making a good point. And I'll tell you something that's really sad is, you say it harkens back, but, you know, when Thurgood Marshall was confirmed in the 1960s, he didn't run into that. Even back then, when we were still coming slowly into the civil rights era, and there were still lynchings in the South in the early 60s, nobody dared act like that at a Senate confirmation hearing. Nobody. Nobody taunted Thurgood Marshall or anybody else the way these people just did. And you had Cruz, you had Hawley, and you had little Lindsey Graham, you had John Kennedy. God, he degrades that name. What a great name for the president, but he's no relation down in Louisiana. And some of these guys simply talk about abusive language and talk about lying. I mean, they wouldn't even let her answer. They would, you know, I remember one with Lindsey Graham going after her on the Kavanaugh confirmation. She had nothing to do with the Kavanaugh confirmation. And he goes, and we didn't do to you what they did to him. And that was terrible. What do you think about that? And then he says, I'm out of here. And he, you know, and she's sitting there and it's like, well, Senator, if you have a question, I'm happy to answer it. Otherwise, see you later. I mean, you're right. This is orchestrated. They were hoping to get one Democrat to vote against her, in which case it would fail. Then they were hoping to orchestrate a complete boycott by the Republicans so there'd be no quorum. And I think they have failed in both of them, but they are trying to put the QAnon label on some of these arguments that they hope spill over into the general election. Pizza Box, thanks a lot for calling in. Next up, we got Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
I got a theory, Matt, and I'm going to run it by you. I hope I'm right, because otherwise I fear for this country. You know, you talked about that situation in New York and them doing nothing and basically exonerating Trump.
Right.
Now you got this stuff coming out with Ginny Thomas and the great justice himself, I'm sure, is involved. Of course, he was the only dissenting vote. I got a theory that we're sitting on this because Cheney has even said that she wants to have this on television. And I agree with her on that because most people's attention span on this type of stuff is about like a gnat. So I think maybe they're putting this grand show together, and especially with this stuff with Thomas coming out. I mean, direct access to Meadows. She also had direct access to the former president, from what I've read, several occasions. But, you know, maybe they're really putting an airtight thing together and a made-for-television type thing so that they can show the American people, and then it'll trickle over to the midterm elections as well. People will be so fed up. And it'll be in their mind when they go to the polls.
You know, I hope you're right. And the other thing there to build on what you just said, Dick, is that Justice Thomas did not recuse himself when there was a demand for the documents. And some of those documents were his wife's emails. And he was the only vote. It was 8-1. So all the Republicans and Democrats, and only he was on the other side, voted to release them. And he voted to protect his own wife's emails. That's a classic conflict of interest. You can't do that. He should have just said, I recuse myself. He doesn't have to give a reason. That was just plain wrong. And, she had discussions, Ginny Thomas, with the chief of staff, with Mark Meadows, about overturning the election. What's this all about? You know, the Supreme Court is supposed to be nonpartisan and neutral, which is a joke now, after Citizens United and the attacks on the Voting Rights Act. But even with that, and yes, it's a spouse and all that, but then her husband votes to protect her emails. That's just plain wrong. That's just plain wrong. Thanks a lot for calling in, Dick. Appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. You know, I'm talking about the Putin Republicans, and Rand Paul just did something that frosts me beyond belief, and I've raised this before in other contexts. There was a bipartisan bill, had strong Republican and Democratic support to stop normalized trade relations with Russia. In other words, don't give them most favored nation status. It would put more burdens on them as far as tariffs and that kind of thing. Why should we have favored nation when they are attacking Ukraine like Hitler attacked Czechoslovakia and Poland? Well, Rand Paul stopped it. One senator got up and said, no, I don't want that. Now, in the old days, it would take months to overturn one guy. Now it can take weeks, and now they're going on vacation. So Rand Paul, who is very pro-Putin, Rand Paul can stop it. Now, what's going on in the Senate? Why can't Schumer and Moscow Mitch get together, both of whom support this, and say, we are going to short-circuit this process. We're going to give Rand Paul 20 minutes to say what he has to say, and then we're going to entertain a motion to cut it off and go forward. The Republicans won't do that. Do you understand how they are hurting the United States? Do you understand how they are hurting our armed forces? When we are engaged in a struggle that is increasingly looking like it's become a hot struggle with our servicemen and the Ruskies, Rand Paul is single-handedly stopping this and leaves town. The Senate is a separate branch of government. It's the legislature, the Congress, Senate, and the House. But you can't have one branch say, we're not going to do something, therefore nobody else can do it. I think what happens is Biden simply, by executive order, says that we're going to stop trade with them. Why are we shipping them pharmaceuticals? We still are. The pharmaceutical companies say, oh, it's just humane. Okay, it's humane, is it? Well, get it to Mariupol. Get food and water and pharmaceuticals to Mariupol. They're doing it for profit. I think that what Biden has to do by executive order, stop all shipment of any goods to Russia. You have to X out these traitors to the United States like Rand Paul, Josh Hawley, and the rest of them. Just X them out. we meet need very, very strong conduct on this one. Very, very strong conduct. One unbelievably funny thing to me. Well, wait a minute. We're going to go to the lines. Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Robert?
Good morning. I agree with you. We definitely need to act with an executive order. We need to stop fooling around with these guys. They're traitors to democracy. They're traitors to our country. It's appalling that some of these people sit in the House and Senate based on their past conduct. With regards to Ukraine, we definitely, I agree with you that we need either drones or jets or a no-fly zone there. I mean, there's three countries that were former Soviet Union part of the bloc that are now in NATO, and all of their parliaments have voted to do this. Their presidents are kind of blocking it. But really, that's what's going to bring this to the end. And you know, it doesn't seem to be a rational argument to me that, okay, we're going to trust Putin, right? This guy's lied at every turn. We open up a humanitarian corridor, and then, he's abducting people, or they're shooting them, or they're bombing the areas where these people are going through. So why can we trust him in terms of he says, well, he's not going to use nukes or weapons as long as we don't intervene? I don't think we can believe that for a second, that the safest and less risky route would be to get air support in there and really take out some of these armored divisions and stuff and like put this thing to an end before it spirals. And are we going to have refugees and deaths in NATO's countries? I mean, where's the end of this thing?
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's funny because Biden and some of the others, Biden is trying to react to several enemies, the Putin Republicans and the Republican Party and a Putin himself. But the fact of the matter is that it's less risky to firmly stand up now than after he goes into Moldova and he's threatened Finland and Sweden if they even apply to NATO. And then suddenly, there is a Russian-speaking slice of Estonia. And they have gone in before and kidnapped people, and just that's in NATO. And what if he says I threaten nuclear war? At some point you say, of course we don't want war, but we need a humanitarian corridor. Here's going to be medicine, food, and water. You're going to stop the siege of Mariupol. And, with great regret, we're not looking for war. We will destroy anybody who interferes with us. I think you got to do that now and get them the jets, not drones. Jets, we're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.